I was going to talk to you about a number of occasions in my life, especially when I was in high school, that I seemed to be challenged with this whole idea of what time is it. I look back to one evening. I think it was back in 1972. It was a Thursday evening. I remember rushing home from school after basketball practice and in the front door, and sat down at the kitchen table, scarfed down my supper and washed my face and the stuff that usually misses my mouth, and just back out the front door and over to youth group. It was a normal Thursday night as far as I knew, but as we walked into the youth group that night, suddenly we were going to be focusing for the next 70 minutes on a movie that none of us were prepared for. The movie was called A Thief in the Night. And some of you might remember watching it. Many of you would know the words of the Apostle Paul from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, where Paul says, "Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." And we saw this presentation of this one girl, I believe her name was Patty, and as she was in this movie, it was a dream sequence where she was, it was talking about the end times, and was talking about things like the rapture, and all of a sudden, she wakes up. And she finds out that indeed there is this persecution that's taking place. Now, I'm not here this morning to talk about eschatology and your view on the end times and your position on the millennial and everything like this. But for the first time in my life, I remember looking at this topic of what time is it? Are we in the end times? And could this happen to us? I remember our youth sponsors prayed for us, said a few words, and then our meeting was over. Most of us guys, we were in grade 11 and 12, we had a very good-sized youth group, sat there stunned. Normally we'd be up, ready to take the chairs down, put the floor hockey sticks out, and just go crazy. But all of a sudden we sat there going, what if? What if what we saw really happens? There's girls out in the hallway, and they were sobbing uncontrollably. There was a fear that came upon us about something that we didn't really realize, and we had no idea. I mean, we looked at the life that we'd experienced in Canada, and everything was free, and there certainly wasn't persecution. And all of a sudden, we talked about this idea of being in opposition to those who were faithful to Jesus Christ. When I look back, I see that time and time again that it became something of a topic, of a theme that was running through evangelical circles, and not just in evangelical circles, but also through society, especially in the 70s. There was a growing interest in this person of Jesus, even though he's being portrayed in many different ways. Some of you would remember a number of the Broadway shows that were out, and Jesus Christ Superstar and Godspell, and loosely based on some of the teachings of the Bible, but it was drawing attention to Jesus Christ. Of course, it was the church's responsibility to set the record straight on who Jesus is. But that was happening, and in the book, in the written world, some of you remember books like The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, and again, you know what, not here to talk about whether you disagree his position to that, but there was this growing interest in the last days, persecution, things that were going to happen, and that question seemed to be coming up over and over and over again in my mind: what time is it? I remember being at a Youth for Christ concert in Toronto, and I remember the speaker getting up after the concert, and I remember him alluding to something called the doomsday clock. The doomsday clock. I said, what in the wide world of sports is the doomsday clock? I don't have any idea what you're talking about. And he started explaining how the clock was ticking towards midnight. And with that, there was this understanding that this would be somewhat of the end of the world as we know it. And so he talked about that, and for some of you, you might not know much about it, but the doomsday clock was an internationally recognized design that conveys how we are drawing our civilization, or how we are destroying our civilization with dangerous technologies of our own making. First and foremost among them are the nuclear weapons. Dangers include climate-changing technologies, emerging biotechnologies, and cyber technologies. Of course, these have increased since the 70s. He wasn't talking about all those. Main thing we were worried about was probably nuclear war at that time. But again, we sat there, and there was this message that, you know, what time is it? And it seems like time is running down. I look some 40 years later, and, you know, I look back to then, and I look at the path that the church has taken, and I think we need to understand it is a question that society is still asking. They're wondering, how long is this world going to survive? And what time is it? And I think the church needs to stand up, and I think that we need to take focus. As Kevin and Julia were speaking this morning, it seems to be a message that God's reminding them of, you know what? There is someone who is bigger than anything on this earth, and it is our God, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be confident, you can be assured of that, you can say amen, you can agree whatever you want, but that is the truth. That is the truth that we're facing. I've shared it with you when I go down to the Niagara Ice Dogs, when I have the chapel, one of the things I always remember is these guys, their world is hockey, and I say, guys, there is someone that is far bigger than hockey. And so this morning, I look at the path that the church has taken, and sometimes I'm almost shocked at how fragile our faith can be. I'm not sure how many of you would remember the reaction of the church when Y2K, when we were turning 2000. Remember Ravi Zacharias speaking. And Ravi Zacharias says, I'm appalled at the reaction of the church, that there's a fear that seems to be growing as we're approaching 2000. And he says, have we forgotten who is sovereign? Have we forgotten who is in control? Throughout our lifetime, some of you would remember World War I. You know, and you know, it was a war to end all wars. There was the Second World War. There was the Six-Day War in June of 1967, where people were taking notice. Israel was under attack, and those who were looking at the Bible were thinking, well, this could be it. We look through our history in the Middle East and the Gulf War and the continued times there, Y2K, 9/11, and most recently, the election in the United States. Folks, we can chuckle about it, but I need to tell you this morning that Donald Trump is nothing in compared to our almighty God who is sovereign. And we need to remember that. Alec Baldwin, who is an entertainer, who's raised, you know, just seems to have had plenty of laughs at Donald Trump's expense, was very angry in a lot of his tweets, but he made this one comment the other day during the election. He said, one thing that has changed forever in this country is the meaning of the word Christian as it applies to politics. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? As I look at it, and as I look at the way society is looking at Christianity, we do not face the persecution of the persecuted church elsewhere, but I believe with all my heart that the opposition is growing, and it just seems to be coming in subtly, one thing after another. Should we worry about our premier? No, we shouldn't. We should pray that God continues to show himself through his church. And while she wants to redefine things, I know before my God that he is the creator of all things, and it is by his definition that I stand. And so this morning, when we look at what time it is, we read the scriptures before there in John chapter 15 and 16. Incredible that as we look at those words, we see that Jesus said, you should not be surprised when persecution comes. The world hated me, it will hate you. And so it's not if, but when. And so when Julia was sharing and when Kevin was sharing this morning, thank you so much for sharing that well, that it's sharing this morning that we need to go to the well, that we need to be filled daily. And this brings me to a point that we experienced yesterday. And I want to make this quick. But I want us to realize that the world that we live in, society, seems to be rising against the church, against Christianity. The other day at the Hockey Ministries International Annual Chaplain Day, a young man that works with Youth for Christ in Toronto, Youth Unlimited, his name is Carl, and he made an interesting comment. He said, our secular society has become less and less tolerant of Christianity. But individuals are still very open to dialoguing with Christians. It seems like the media is saying no to church, no to the church, no to Christianity, but sit down and talk to people, and I believe they want a dialogue. I believe they're looking for something. I believe it is time for us to stand up. And so what time is it? Yes, I believe with all my heart that we are in the last days. I don't try to figure out the things that are happening when I look at Revelation and that and try to piece it all together. As Bill Lobazoo was saying a couple weeks ago, what's the key? That the gospel will be preached to all generations and then Christ will return. There are signs that we need to be aware of, and we see them. But let's not get caught up in our position as much as we need to get caught up in the responsibility that we've been given to go in the power of the Holy Spirit and to proclaim Jesus Christ. Yesterday, three of us had the opportunity, and I want you to pray about this, because we had three of the Alliance pastors at the Encounter event at Caledonia, about 140 people. A lot of them were pastors and lay leaders and elders, and we met together, and I'm hoping that I can have one of the speakers come down, maybe have a Friday night here. But they talked about the encounter with the Holy Spirit. When I look at what Jesus is saying here, he talks about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that is going to come, and it's through the power of the Comforter that we are going to testify to Jesus Christ. What time is it? It is time for the church to stand. We are in the end days. We are. And when I look at the gospel of, Luke's second gospel, the book of Acts, I read those words in Acts chapter 2. Let me read them for you. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all my people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, I believe that the question many people are asking is what time it is. And this morning, let's turn the question into a statement. It is time. It is time for us to stand up on the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and say that we will be faithful. Lord, use us. Be all that we need. That is the time that's at. Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples, was talking that hatred in the world was inevitable. He said, those who hear the gospel will be without excuse because of their unbelief. He says the persecuted disciples' testimony is imperative because it's on the words of the saints that God continues to build his church. And some of us have read books of the martyrs down through the years, and I always remember that saying, that their blood cries out. Where there is oppression, where there's opposition, where there's persecution, the church of God continues to go forth. Can I share something with you this morning? I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ in Canada is going to explode. But I believe that there's going to be a cost. And you know what? I'd be the first to say, Lord, prevent me from doing it. But if the Lord wants to build his church that way, then Lord, prepare me to go through it. And Lord, be all that each of us needs to be faithful to you. It's time. Some of you over the years maybe have seen these huge title boxing matches, and the ring announcer comes up. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your main event. Well, lately there's a new fad in town called UFC. It's mixed martial arts, and some of you are probably going, I can't even believe you're saying this. Well, I'm not asking you to be a fan of it, but I want to share this with you. That it's interesting because when they have these cards, there's all these preliminary bouts that are happening. They happen. There's dozens of them, and they happen and happen. And all of a sudden, as the main event gets there, the announcer takes the phone, the microphone, and he goes, somebody want to help me? For the main event, what's he say? It's time. It's time. And it's like everybody in the arena that might be looking here, there, and everywhere, suddenly when the main event is taking place, the focus is suddenly drawn to the main event. And the main event right now that people need to be taken, need to be told and preached and made aware of, is the main event is that Jesus Christ is returning. He's coming back. And so this morning, my dear friends, when we look into Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, we see that there was a command to wait for the Spirit, and we see the results of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in the lives of Christ followers. God chose to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. We heard that a dozen times yesterday. How ordinary are you? Brian, are you an ordinary guy? Well, I'm probably a wrong example. Okay, somebody else is a little more ordinary. Okay, but we need to understand that when you look at the book of Acts and you see the followers of Christ, who do you see? You see ordinary people. We don't have to be extraordinary to be used to God. In fact, God invites the ordinary to come and through his Holy Spirit to do extraordinary things. It's time. It's time that we would surrender ourselves and that we would be open to letting the Holy Spirit do his work, to have his way, to know to see the will of God worked out through each of our lives. It's time. And it's time that we come to that point, and that will mean it's time to surrender. What time is it? It's time that we as a church become fully surrendered to our Lord, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, allow God to do extraordinary things through ordinary lives. We need people to know that it is time. So the Spirit says to us this morning, it's time. It's time that we're all in. It's time that we're fully surrendered. It's time that we say, here I am, Lord. You're coming soon. And we want to take as many with us as possible. That's what it's time for. Kevin and Julia, may God's blessing be upon you. I've just tried to share on top of what you said this morning. You know what? We don't know how God's going to work through us. In eternity, I believe with all my heart that those 2 years plus that you spent in prison, there are going to be people that probably were there to just to be a pain in your flesh, that were ignorant of God's love. I believe some of those people will be in eternity. We don't know how many days we have. So we're going to stop asking what time it is. And we're going to be people say that it's time. Let's pray.